Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show podcast. I'm Jim Jefferies. If you haven't already, please subscribe and rate the show in a good way. If you rate it in a bad way, that won't be helpful to me or my failing career. My management make me do this every week. And when I say every week, they made me do it both weeks because this is week two. But this weekend, I'll be at the Borgata in Atlantic City. I'll be there with Forrest Shaw. Say hello, Forrest.
Hi, this is Forrest.
Forrest will be opening up for me. That means that he will be the person talking whilst you're taking your seats. October 13th.
It's better than the asshole joke you did last week. I thought you were going to go there again.
Last week, I did a joke about Forrest will be opening for me in the way that he will be laying down and parting his asshole so that... because I find it comforting. But that's not actually what Forrest does. He does less than that. October 13th in Baltimore at the Hippodrome, and October 14th in Durham, North Carolina, at the Durham Performing Arts Center. We're here with Forrest Shaw, who co-hosts the Jim Jefferies Show podcast. Forrest, say hello.
Hi, it's me with a gaping asshole again. I'm here this week again. And let's introduce our guests on the podcast. It's two writers from the Jim Jefferies Show, Kevin Avery and Lucas Kavanagh. Say hello.
Hey, great to be here.
I like to say Kevin Avery, Emmy Award winning.
Oh, my.
Because he won an Emmy last week with John Oliver. And I hope, cherish that. Like, I don't know if another one's coming your way for a very long time. Polish that, look at it, be happy that it exists. Where have you put it?
Well, right now I just moved into a new place, so it's there's in the TV stand, like obnoxiously underneath my television. I'm gonna move him to my office.
He brought it into the office though, and he wouldn't show.
Okay,
it.
I need to. It's I here? Didn't bring it to the office. I was staying at a hotel that weekend, and I came straight to work.
You stayed at a hotel in LA for the Emmys just because you got the free room.
Well,
how much in the suburbs do you fucking live?
I live in Silver Lake. They put us up in every year. The HBO puts all the folks up at the
every year.
He's rubbing it in.
They put you up at the Four Seasons. And so it's fun to hang out with all the Game of Thrones people and all the...
We have Comedy Central executives in the room. What hotel do we get to stay at when we get nominated for an Emmy? Like, I know it's been a long time since anyone on your channel has been nominated for an Emmy, but if that was to happen, where would you put us up?
Best Western?
They're just looking at us like that question has never aroused in a fucking meeting. Anyway, so you got two Emmys now. It must be good. Do you ever animate them, like make them do still motion things where they're fighting with each other?
I should do that. That'd be a little fun. Stop motion. I don't have that type of that skill level with the camera. I don't think. I feel like
you've got plenty of spare time. Let's be honest, with this show, we work about 3 hours a day.
We might be nominated for a Cable Ace Award. Do they still have those?
Really? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Cable Ace Awards?
No, there's something that WGAs?
That's not
the Cable Ace, but no, I think we're submitting for that right now.
You're wrong there. That's the Good A's. It's an Australian award. It's only presented to Australians. And we have Lucas here. And Lucas, you're a new dad.
That's right. I have a baby, not an Emmy.
How's that working out for you? Enjoying being a father?
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, I'm not sleeping at all, really. But
have you connected with the child in any real way?
Yeah, you know, I guess he started to smile now, which makes a difference. Because then before that, he's just sort of like a plant who like shits.
Yeah, it's that weird thing that every other animal in the world just falls out of the womb and just starts running around.
Yet
humans don't finish their full development until like 2 or 3 years later or something like that. We're just fucking sucking on our thumb. It's that weird moment with a kid, because I have a child, but I remember when... he discovered his hands. Like, there was a weird moment with Hank when he was pulling on his hair and he was crying, but he didn't know why he was crying because someone was pulling on his hair and he was too dumb to figure out it was him.
He just thought somebody was grabbing.
Yeah, it's just like, why is someone grabbing at my hair? And it's like, we're meant to be the most intelligent fucking species on the planet.
I get these babies' milestone emails. Like, your baby should be doing this by this week. And this week was like, he should hold things in his hands briefly.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Those things go on for years, right? And you start having these emails that come to you. It's like, your baby should be able to do this. And then you look at your baby and it's not doing that. And you're like, fucking idiot.
The fuck are you
and
doing?
Then like the next day it's doing it. And you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I thought it was undeveloped. At my school, my kid, there's other parents that are like, oh, my child's reading. Like, they're all four. And he goes, my child's reading at a six-year-old's age. And I'm like, my child, I guess, reading at a nothing age because he's not reading. Like, how do you measure this? And why are you so quick to accelerate people? I assume he'll be able to read. Is that my job to teach him? Isn't that why I'm paying so much money at the schools? Who knows?
He's got a good personality.
He does have a lovely personality.
Charming kid.
Yes, he gets that from me. So let's talk about the show. We just finished recording the show. On the show, look, we wrote a show that we thought we were going to talk about, like fentanyl, and we had a few other different subjects we were going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the spending that politicians are doing at the moment by having private jets to fly everywhere. Right. And that guy that looks slightly like John Oliver went on his honeymoon. He was going to spend all that money. But then what happened was, as always, Trump fucked our weekend up because we thought we'd done writing on Friday, and then Trump goes and fucks us all up by talking about athletes taking a knee. So we did a whole piece on patriotism, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it was, a piece on patriotism.
Protest and patriotism.
What does it mean to be patriotic? You know, is it unpatriotic to do certain things? Is it more patriotic to... hold on, I got to check my... Okay, Jack, just take this, because I just ordered $70 worth of Taco Bell, and you have to collect it from the gate.
70 specifically?
Yeah, $70. Do you know how much...
$70.
Do you know how much Taco Bell you can get for $70? And I haven't even asked anyone else if they want Taco Bell.
Well, you just bought it for everybody?
No, I just bought some, and then people who wander into my office, like Nicole will get some, my assistant. You'll get some, Forrest. You'll get some.
Sure.
I'll probably give some to Kevin and none to Lucas.
That's fair.
That's just how it is.
He won an Emmy.
Yeah, he won an Emmy Award-winning Taco Bell. So we did this whole podcast, and the whole idea behind podcast.
Guess how many chickens are killed a year for fat? I just read this today. How many chickens 20 billion. Are killed a year?
Wait a minute. I'm obsessed with this. Have I talked to you about this
before? Specifically for what?
I am obsessed with this. I literally eat about a chicken a week. Like two breast meals, a couple of wing meals. Sometimes I eat like a bucket of wings, like 16 wings. I kill like eight chickens worth of wings. And then I think to myself, there's 7 billion people on the planet. I'm eating a chicken a fucking week. That means that I'm eating 52 chickens a year. That means that, let's say, the average person is eating a chicken or half a chicken a week, including fucking vegetarians or whatever. That means that on our earth, including frozen and living and chicks and all this other stuff, there's got to be arguably 30 billion chickens on our planet. Now, my question is this. Where the fuck are all the chickens? Everywhere I go, I can't get through traffic. I'm walking into people. There's too many fucking people on this planet, and I never see a chicken. I saw like one chicken in a Rocky movie once.
You've never seen a truck carrying chickens on the highway? With
the I'm watching the road, Forrest. I'm a responsible driver.
He doesn't watch the left or the right.
I know there's sheds. I know there's sheds with chickens, but where the fuck are they? That many chickens? I can probably account for 1 million chickens, but I can't account for 30 billion.
7 billion are killed in the America a year.
Just in America, for fast food, or just all chickens? See,
all
I've been to Mexico, and then you'll see like that one chicken just wandering around the town.
Yeah.
Who's eating that fucking chicken? That's got to feed one person for a fucking week. That chicken's just wandering around.
Yeah,
where did he come from? Are there unclaimed chickens?
Well, you see, you said, where do they come from? And that leads to a very timeless question.
Yes, yes indeed.
What came first, the Emmy or John Oliver? God.
He sort of came with his own Emmy.
Yeah, I think he did.
That's the theme. All
sorry,
right.
I got
We got slightly sidetracked, but 7 billion, seven billion chickens die in America every year. I just learned that. So
they're all cramped. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands in these chicken farms.
Yeah,
they're all just cramped. So they're all really hiding in like 5 chicken farms around the world.
Yeah, I mean, how much food do you see?
Me guy, that other Morgan than Spurlock's movie is all about chickens. His new movie.
It's other like than cows.
Oh, he's doing a new thing with chickens.
Yeah, it's all chicken.
It's about steroids being fed into chickens.
And like all the big farm, like Purdue Chicken and these huge companies putting farmers out of business and all that. Like,
see, because I know what Forrest is about to say now. He's going to mention cows.
Than cows, what other things that you eat do you see all the time?
Okay, well, in Australia, eating
broccoli,
eating lamb is as prevalent, as common as eating chicken or beef. And we have shitloads of sheep everywhere, so that makes fucking sense.
You like lobster. How many lobsters do you see when you're driving in traffic?
Yeah, but I'm not in the water.
I know, but I'm just saying. Like,
traffic. Jim commutes my boat.
You said there's all this traffic. Where there's all the chickens?
If you ask me how many lobsters do I see in my submarine, then you have a fucking argument. But until that point,
okay. How about
not really, because lobsters aren't they low to the ground?
Yeah, my submarine has
it's on the seabed.
I'm just saying,
Kevin.
My submarine
at this very point is parked in an octopus's garden. I always thought that was so weird that like that was the one hit that Ringo Starr wrote was Octopus's Garden, and it's kind of beautiful. It's fucking beautiful, Ringo.
Hey, did you guys hear about these protests in the NFL?
So that's what our show was about. Let's go back to the show. So we did some protests in the NFL. It turns out that some people are taking a knee, and it started obviously with Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee because he believed in there was racial injustice in America. It was about Black Lives Matter. And now I feel like the story, and we didn't really mention this because we only have a finite amount of time, but I feel like what's happened is the knees aren't about racial injustice. The knees now are about a big fuck you to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even when he inspires hate, it just like it turns the entire conversation around to him. So now everything is just anti him. But dude has no shame.
But that's the whole argument. So with Donald Trump now, of course, he has brought out more white supremacists. More people have shown hate in our world than before we had Donald Trump. But maybe, just maybe, he is exposing those people and starting a more united conversation. I know he's not doing this on purpose, but is there an argument for that?
I mean, I would say the interesting thing is that those people hate Donald Trump more than they want to hire Colin Kaepernick, which is really weird because, like that, I mean, that the whole conversation changed. They're still not hiring that guy. And I mean, just from a sporting aspect, their quarterbacks suck in the NFL right now. You get a job, and they're still. You would think that somebody this week, I thought for sure, yesterday or the day before, they were going to be like, and Kaepernick's hot, you know, just as like the whole final. But
maybe he'll
might
play
be
baseball.
He might be in talks with somebody we just don't know. I mean, you know,
it's weird. I mean, he's very capable, and at this point, it's like you would.
Obviously, he could be a backup quarterback for any team. He took the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. He's obviously capable, but isn't there an argument that it would just be wise for a football team owner just to buy the guy just for the jersey sales?
Yeah, because it was the top. It's the top selling jersey in the NFL, right?
I thought it was the top-selling 49ers jersey.
Yeah, I think it was 49ers
but
jersey.
But not in the NFL. But if like the Jacksonville Jaguars or whatever bought him right now, it would go through the fucking roof, man.
Yeah, the Jaguars don't have a backup quarterback job for Colin Kaepernick.
He could start for the Jets. He could start for a lot of teams, too. There's
49ers.
But what about the Sharks? So often on podcasts, people don't work in a West Side Story reference.
Oh, I thought you were talking. I thought that was Any Given Sunday. That was the name of the football team in the Any Given Sunday movie. It was like the Miami Sharks.
Oh, I forgot about
Which I don't know if you remember that movie.
I was fighting for you.
Every game was played in the dark in that movie for some reason. They just had like car headlights.
This is the weird thing about Forrest, and there's many, but one of the things that really bothers me about Forrest is he's from Florida, and you know this because his inheritance was flooded recently. But the thing about Forrest is he's Florida all the way. He's white trash, anything you want, right? That's all Florida.
White trash?
He's a marine biologist. He specialized in manatees just because he wanted to specialize in things that look like him. And the thing about Forrest is he follows the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Why don't you follow the Miami?
It's not an interesting story. It was just the first game I ever saw was Denver Broncos live in Denver.
Yeah, but you can't go to the games. Why would you do that?
I was little. It's like with ducks, they imprint on the first things they see, and then that's their parents. That's who you like.
Wait a minute. Are you comparing you to a duck, or you're saying that?
Well, it's better than being compared to a manatee. I feel like you just went down this whole spiral of like.
You should just be happy that the word man is in that title.
I would rather be compared to a manatee than a duck. I think manatee sounds cooler, right?
Not really.
They're manatees, a fucking grotesque animal, the manatee.
I don't know if they're grotesque. I
had never seen a manatee. And then in the early days of me being in America, Forrest was opening for me. And he's like, let me show you some manatees. And it's just these fucking...
We went and saw manatees?
Wannabe whales rolling around.
Oh, I'm thinking of the manta.
They look like a beanbag chair.
Manta rays are great.
That's a cool looking animal.
Manta rays. Stingrays. Yeah. Anything that can kill Steve Irwin, I'm all for. That's the thing is, I've swum with stingrays and I've never felt in danger. And then Steve Irwin, he wrestles like crocodiles and sharks and shit.
Yeah.
And then like there's been two recorded cases of stingrays actually killing people. And it's Steve Irwin. Now, the thing with Steve Irwin is they have footage of him being killed by the stingray. But they say they will never release it because it's disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. They'll never release it for one reason and one reason alone, because he wasn't gently patting the fucking stingray. He was fucking with it and going, look at this fucking stinger, this stinger, and then grabbing it by the tail, and the thing kicked back and fucking shot through his heart. I'm not saying that Steve Irwin deserves to die, but I understand why he did.
But I got to ask you this, because being Australian, you guys have the box jellyfish.
Yeah.
That is the scariest shit I've ever heard of.
Oh, you Americans are such pussies. We also have big fucking spiders and snakes and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
a
story.
The box jellyfish is... Tell them what the box jellyfish is.
It's a big jellyfish.
Yeah, it's a jellyfish it's very deadly, and it's got a neurotoxin. It'll kill you almost like immediately
if you just touch die
it.
From the poison.
I mean,
you die for if you touch it. It's extremely painful.
It's
and
shaped
you die
like a box, and everyone knows that one of the most annoying thing in life is moving, and that involves box. And it's just that it's so fucking upsetting.
All your shit's in it.
It just reminds you of all the times you moved.
baggage comes out.
And then eventually you kill yourself. We also have a snake called the brown snake, which is one of the ugliest of all the snakes. And I have a story. It's more sort of, it's indigenous to Sydney for the most part, same with funnel web spiders. When I was a kid, we had a cat, and that's my whole story. When I was a kid, we had a cat, and I woke up. I used to keep my bedroom window open so the cat could get in and out of the house. And we had this cat that brought in a brown snake and just dropped it on the end of my bed. The most poisonous snake in the world. And I just sat there, and the fear that rushed through me seeing this snake, and the cat was like, look at what I fucking done. Are you impressed?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it's alive. The snake's hissing at the cat, and the cat's like, fucking nailed it. Right? And so I want to scream, but I can't scream because I'm just like, and eventually I sort of get, Dad! And then my dad comes in like, what's the fucking problem? Blah, blah, blah. And he comes in, he sees the brown snake, and he's like, oh, fucking hell, just stay under the cover. My dad goes out and gets a shovel and just smacks the snake over her head a bit. Then he scoops it up and he goes, go back to bed. And I went back to sleep. Then in the morning, I wake up and I see my brothers. And I'm like, oh, there was a snake on the end of my bed. And then Dad came in with a shovel and he fucking smacked the cunt, right? I didn't say cunt because I was about 8. cunt hadn't really gotten into my vocabulary as much as it has now. Till
like 9.
Yeah, till like 9. Yeah, in Australia. We hadn't learned that school. It wasn't part of the curriculum that. So anyway, so my dad goes, and my brother's like, bullshit. And then my dad goes, oh yeah. And he goes, I left it in a dustpan on the balcony. And we went out to the dustpan to see this dead snake, and it was curled up asleep, and then my brother touched it, and it fucking hissed and fucking spat at us, and it ran off.
Yo!
Well, that sounds way more white trash than anything I've ever done in my whole life, just so you know.
This is why I'm not going to Australia.
The cat bringing the snake into his bed.
I'm just saying.
And it lives.
So, yeah, so anyway, amazing. A lot of NFL players have been taking a knee, and Donald Trump is upset by this. Now, there's all these problems going on. That we got mass hurricanes. The people of Puerto Rico are fucking underwater. It's probably more horrific what's happened there than what's happened in Florida, because the people of Puerto Rico, we care about.
They did a poll, though. They did a poll where half of Americans didn't know Puerto Rico was part of America.
Yeah.
Half.
And so at the moment, it's
seems
always
low to me.
Right, yeah, actually, thinking about it now.
I have a theory on Trump. I believe that when he wants to divert something that's big, he sort of says something that's trivial, so we all get outraged.
You think it's on purpose, though? Like, everyone says that, and I just think he just blabs about shit, and we talk about it because it's interesting because he's crazy.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I think I don't know if he's an evil genius. I'm not sure, but it seems coincidental.
Yeah, I don't think he's that smart.
That he fucking.
I mean, he's smart enough to know that if I say something crazy, like, everyone's going to talk about it. I think that's the extent of it.
But I do think it's impulsive. I think he's just going on.
But he believes
shit.
It, so.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that he was in Alabama saying that.
No.
You know?
Well, that's the only thing. I always think, like, there's a great Twilight Zone episode that's waiting to happen if they bring back the Twilight Zone, which I think they should. There's a great Twilight Zone, like, if Hillary won. Mm-hmm. What would Hillary be saying right now about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee?
Nothing.
Exactly, nothing. We wouldn't even be talking about it. This guy stirs up shit that doesn't even need to. Even if we had Jeb or Marco Rubio or whatever, we wouldn't be hearing about Kaepernick taking a knee. Like the fact is that, you know, this could blow out of all proportion that in 50 years' time, where we have statues of people of Confederate soldiers, we may have a statue of Kaepernick taking a fucking knee.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how outside the Miami Sharks football stadium. I mean, that's the thing, though, is like he said in interviews, like, he sort of like wants to start a culture war. Like, Trump is interested in shoring up his, because if his base loves,
it's basically
Wendy,
what Charles Manson wanted to do.
Yeah, but his base loves this shit. Like, they love him talking about this as much as possible.
But that's the I like that he tells it like it is.
You like
that's,
that?
Yeah, that's that whole mentality. Right. That he just says what's on. He says what we're all thinking. You know,
I'm from Dallas, and it was amazing watching social media people like Dallas football fans on Monday night because Dallas Cowboys all kneeled.
Well, they all booed
before
them.
Before
the
anthem.
Well, they did a weird. The Cowboys did a weird thing where they all kneeled before the anthem, and then they stood.
Yeah.
And then Cowboys fans were like, they were kneeling for the cross, and then standing up for the anthem, so they actually didn't kneel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about Trump, that, and this was I don't remember what episode, but it was the one where we're talking about the Democrats and branding and stuff. Is that he? I mean, we're joking about it, but he really is good. Whether he does it on purpose or it's just he falls into it, he's really good at distilling it down to the three or four words, and then his whole base is just like,
he is amazing at getting attention.
Yeah,
he is amazing at getting attention. It's like, okay, so you're from Texas.
Yeah.
You must have a lot of relatives and friends that don't like you because of your hippie fucking show.
I mean, I feel like I found all of the weird liberal kids in this fucking school. Like, that's the thing. It's like everybody just knows. But yeah, there's tons of people. I mean, like, you know, there's a girl who, like, was just always the one at parties, you know, just, she was like the crazy party girl in high school, just like insane, drunk all the time. And now she started working for the Blaze, you know, Glenn Beck's like right wing organization.
I'll tell you my favorite Texas story. Was it Dallas or Houston this happened in?
It was Dallas.
It was in Dallas. Yeah. So I had to cancel a gig in Dallas, and then I had to rebook the gig for a different date. Yeah. And so what happened was we had to cancel the gig because there was a person who was openly making death threats against me, saying they were going to shoot the theater up because of my gun control routine. And so I didn't want to tell the people why this had happened, but I said, I'm canceling the show for personal reasons. I'll come back. And then, so these threats still kept coming. I went to the police, and the police were like, oh, well, you know, freedom of speech. I'm like, really? Oh, that sounds like a threat. Anyway, so I decided, okay, I'm going to go perform in Dallas. So I go to perform in Dallas, and what I had to do was, because someone was threatening to shoot the theater up, was I paid for, out of my own pocket, I paid for maybe 10 to 12 police officers to stand at every exit and to have them sort of lining the front of the stage. So that it was, and everyone was metal detected as they went in. And so I'm sitting backstage in my dressing room, and in the dressing room next to me, all the police are being briefed about their jobs for the night. Now, these are off-duty cops that I'm just paying. And the sergeant goes, okay, we're going to need like police officers, cops at each door. We're going to need like four cops along the edge of the stage. And then one of them went, hey, sergeant. He goes, what are we even doing here? And then he goes, well, this particular comedian has been getting death threats. And another one went, why is he getting death threats? And the guy goes, well, he does a routine on gun control. And then another one said, maybe he should learn to shut his fucking mouth. Right? And these are the people. These are the people I paid to protect me. And I was sitting there just in the next room going, oh, my God.
Jesus.
You know, a side note of that is when you had to cancel that show, do you remember I did the Facebook post? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, Jim, everybody knows this.
I'm not good with the grammar.
And words and spelling and things like that. So since he had to cancel it, felt bad. He goes, oh, I want to make sure this goes out right. And I was at his house, and he goes, can you type this up? So I typed it up, and he posted it on Facebook, and literally 5 seconds after he posted, like, he didn't write this. There's no spelling mistakes, and the grammar's correct. Like, just immediately. Immediately someone said.
An uproar from the fans.
I know.
This is bullshit.
Lies!
Too well written.
Yeah. All right, so my stupidity brings us into the second act. The second act was also more football-related stuff. Now, this was the act that maybe a couple of weeks ago we'd already talked about. We were going to do a piece on CTE, people getting brain damage off bashing their heads into things too much. This was something that interests me because I've always been, as an Australian, when I watch American football and I see people in like their spandex pants and their helmets, and especially when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, it was always like Americans are pussies because I played rugby. I played rugby with no pads on and we all just fucking hit each other. I was like, look at Americans with their fucking helmets and their shoulder pads. But now I have since learned that that makes it way more dangerous because people hit each other harder with their heads.
Yeah.
In rugby, you wouldn't hit head on head because you would do a thing called dying. Right, yep. But what you've done is put these little stop gaps in the way of dying, and you know. So we did a piece on all these footballers, and it's not just a rumor, and it's not. It's like the NFL are covering this up in the same way that the tobacco industry covered up lung cancer for a very long time. So that was the next piece that we
CTE,
did.
CTE, concussions,
chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
You can say it. Can you say
encephalopathy.
That's one of the great things about the show is what we do is I can't say big words, right? So instead of what we do
or
is
simple names.
Yeah, simple names. What we do is we act like I'm meant to not correctly say the word and then we make a joke afterwards, but those jokes have to be written because I'm what my grandparents would call simple.
It's taking a lot of pressure off you. It's good.
But it is funny every time. I still laugh about Scott Ducey from last week.
Scott Ducey, what was his real name?
Steve Ducey.
Oh, I was way off.
Scott Ducey's better.
And that was the thing is, I didn't know it was. I thought I said Steve Ducey. I didn't know I said Scott Ducey.
You didn't know you were saying
that? No, I didn't know I said that. I didn't know at all. All that happens is Scott, the producer of the show, Scott comes over in between takes, and he comes up to me and goes, that was great. And I'm like, all right, good. Scott Ducey.
Yeah, well, he knows now. So. Yeah.
So what we did was we did a whole lot of thing about the brain trauma. It was something that I was very interested in. I didn't write a lot of this piece. Oh, I want to mention something about the last act that we didn't do. Now, Lucas, this is very near and
dear to your heart. We're off concussions?
No, no, this isn't the first place. We're just going back.
Oh, okay.
What happened was there was this whole thing about Steph Curry not being invited to the White House or being invited to the White House and rescinding and saying he wouldn't go. And we've been trying for about five fucking episodes to work in a Scarlett Johansson joke.
Oh, yeah.
And it just hasn't happened. And so our original joke was, hey, Scarlett Johansson, if you're listening, coming to my house is a real honor, and you've been playing too hard to get for too long, so I'm taking back the offer. And then I was like, I can never be mad at you. You're welcome whenever you want, Scarlett. And then it turned out that another show did a similar joke. Now, this wouldn't be a problem, but we have tried to work in a me trying to fuck Scarlett Johansson joke.
Since the pilot.
Yeah, since the first pilot. Episode. Yeah, yeah.
Since the pilot. The fourth time, right? I mean,
maybe the fifth. This Scarlett Johansson jokes have been edited out. So for the tens of people who listen to this podcast, if you see us ever get a Scarlett Johansson joke actually into the show, know that the writers are just jumping up and down backstage while that's happening, because we've tried our hardest.
Just blood, sweat,
it's funny because I thought when I saw that in the script, I was like, oh, didn't we already do that? And I was like, oh, no, yeah, we tried to.
I forgot they've been cut.
You think we've done it. We had another joke in this, okay, in this next act, back to the brain damage, where we go, Donald Trump's going to want as many brain damaged people as possible if he's going to get reelected in 2020. Actually, I just read that better than I did on the show. And that was also a joke from the pilot that didn't make it in, where we were going to talk about
that children. He's going to need brain damaged children.
Yeah, brain damaged children or something. But we eventually worked it in. We shelled it and we got it back. But they were only the really jokes that we didn't really get through this week. Was Scarlett Johansson? Was it another joke?
No, you know which other one you've been trying to get on is the wheels in the suitcase too. That got on the
Wait a minute. Why we're recording this podcast right now? We have the other people in another room editing the show.
That's true.
And so it may not get through, but I get outraged by the fact that my father used to carry suitcases and there wasn't wheels on the suitcase. Like, that really bothers me. I feel the same way about stamps. The fact that the post office used to sell you stickers, yet they still had a fucking sponge next to them and they were blotting a stamp going, we can't figure out a better way.
Yeah.
Right? These are things that upset me. That and chicken farms. Where are all the chickens, people? I can't say that strongly enough.
Right, chickens are in the old suitcases.
Well, this is I had an old suitcase when I moved to Western Australia after I graduated. I'll tell you a funny story, right? So I'm from Sydney, but for some reason on Wikipedia, it says I'm from Perth. Now, I sort of started doing stand-up comedy in Perth, which is basically Sydney to Perth is the same as New York to Los Angeles, same distance. And I went to university in Perth, and I started comedy there. For some reason on Wikipedia, it says that I'm from Perth. Anyway, between episode 10 and episode 11, they redid my office and they redecorated and they put some new furniture and stuff in there.
They really did, man. That was a nice new office.
It's beautiful. My office is beautiful. And but what happened was there's a lot of Perth memorabilia.
Yeah. You pointed that out to me when we were all looking at it and you're like, I'm not from Perth.
There's a WAP.
Flower of Perth.
Yeah, there's a map of Western Australia. There's a clock that will constantly tell me what time it is in Perth. And the interior designers that did that, I didn't have the heart to tell them that they were in the wrong, but thank you. And the people of Perth, I love you in a way.
You didn't bring up the important thing, which I think is the toilet foot pedal, which I actually think is kind of...
Toilet, okay, so for people who are listening, why isn't there foot pedals on toilets? You should be able to, especially not at home, but when you're on a plane... There should be a pedal, because sometimes they even have pedals for the flush. On a plane, they sometimes have flush pedals.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They have flush pedals. But why isn't there a pedal that you press down where the toilet seat lifts up? See, this is the thing is, I don't want to put the seat up because it's covered in piss, right? Yeah. So I piss through it, causing more piss to be on the fucking seat. And then women are angry at me. And then if I do have the will to put it up, I don't want to put it back down because I don't want to touch it twice. There should be a pedal on toilet so where you hit it, the seat goes up, you have a piss, it has a lovely soft release back down. Women would be happy. They're never touching anything. I'm never touching anything. It's a win-win. But for some reason, society wants to fuck me on a daily basis.
Yeah, I don't understand why you go into to wash your hands, there will be a soap dispenser that is touchless. And you don't have to touch it. And then the faucet itself, you have to raise that up. And like, there are all these little things that people are not
Yeah, but they have the no-touch faucets. Yeah, but they don't have any of the...
They have the wave pedals. Flush. I love the wave flush where it's just like a fucking... Yeah, yeah. No,
consistency
is all I'm
asking.
The seat is the most important bit of the thing. We're all kicking up a seat with our fucking feet.
I don't want to touch anything in a public restroom.
Well, what about this? They just recently came out with flushless urinals, like... Wasn't gravity doing that all along? I never understand that. Like, just pee in the hole.
It was waterless.
Yeah, but
there used to be water in urinals. And then they invented that pad that had all the spikes coming out of it that seemed to absorb the piss.
Yeah, I like the spike pad.
Whoever invented the spiky pad in the bottom of urinals, you earned your $1 billion.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir or madam. You did a wonderful job. I'm going to assume it's a man. I'm going to assume it's a man because only a man could see that problem. There's no woman who's urinating in a regular toilet that went, I wonder if the men are having problems with urinals. Yeah. So it might sound sexist of me, but I'm going to assume it's a man that invented the piss plastic trays. And well done, sir. You deserve an Emmy.
Except didn't a man invent the tampon too? So
did he?
I think so.
Yeah, he did.
Roy tampon.
Yeah, but, but he just wanted to stick it up women.
Yeah, Roy tampon was just looking for something to stick up women.
How long have I feel like that's something a woman would have come up with and a man took credit for.
I feel like it's a thing that a woman would have complained about for a long time, and then a man would have been like, Here's this. Now shut up. Maybe not. That was misogynistic. My girlfriend's in the corner laughing right now because she knows how factual our relationship is. Now.
Yeah, his name was Earl Haas.
It wasn't Roy Tampon?
It was not Roy Tampon.
Because that's the whole thing. Because we say we're taking a crap because the guy who invented the toilet was named Crapper or something, right? And that's why we have the term taking a crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. The guy who invented the toilet had the name Crap. His name.
Sandwich.
Why aren't we doing a piece on that?
That should be actually.
Just learn that.
Like episode 100 when we're really running out of ideas. Yeah. It's like when you watch John Oliver and he's just like, now I'm going to talk about property lines. And you're like, fucking hell. Does Kevin really deserve an Emmy for this? So we talked about that. We talked about the brain damage thing. I don't want to labor on that too much. If you are an ex-NFL player and you have brain damage, sorry. After that, we interviewed a man called...
Andy Slavik.
Now, Andy Slavik's a very interesting man, that many of you may not have heard of. He is an expert on Medicare and Medicaid, and was basically, he wrote up Obamacare. He worked with Obama on creating that. And he's probably the most authoritative voice on healthcare in this country.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard of him before. And to our credit on this show, he has only ever been on things like Charlie Rose and C-SPAN shows, and he was kind of nervous about being on a comedy show. But the guy, I got to tell you, was a fucking star, man.
Yeah.
He was charming and eloquent.
He got some jokes in, yeah.
He was funny. Yeah.
And Charlie Rose probably didn't talk about fisting.
Yeah, well, that's another thing we got to talk about. I did a fisting joke.
That probably won't make it on.
But that won't make the edit. I did a thing about if you, like I said to the girls in the audience, all the men, I'm not sexist. I am, but that's not about this. I did a thing about if women in the audience, if you were going, and people listening right now, if you're in your car, maybe you're sitting with your kids in the back of the car right now and they can listen to this because they got to learn somehow.
Eventually.
If you're going to be fisted, ladies, if you have to be fisted, Donald Trump's the best guy, right? Because he's little tiny hands.
Yeah.
He's little tiny hands and he'd
baby
give that...
Claws.
Your little tiny hands, he'd fist you. And I said on the show, which will be edited out, all you'd be left with is a pile of regret and an orange ring around your vagina. Because of all the fake tan.
Probably his hand's not big enough to touch the outside. It would just go straight
slip
in.
Slip right in.
I think with fisting, you got to worry about the forearms a lot, too. So that's the.
I think with fisting, you got to worry about consent is my problem.
That's the bigger issue.
The biggest issue is... Okay, number one is you have to know the person, right? I'm old-fashioned like that. Number two is you have to ask them first. You don't just rush into a fisting. Yeah. Don't go in there willy-nilly. Anyway, so
you need a yes.
So he was a great interview.
Yeah. He did, though, because he got in a couple of jokes. He got some laughs. and then you took a turn down Fisting Lane, and you could see him squirming to get out of his chair. Like you could see the satisfaction on his face first. Like, yeah, nice, I got one in. Oh no, fisting! I did not. This is not what I thought. This was ill.
Yeah, both you saw Evan McMullen. You could sort of see the moment halfway through.
Well,
like,
this is the thing:
I have
done this? If you watch the show with Evan McMullen, the edit on that episode turned out that me and him were getting along and everything was fine, and I really liked Evan. But Evan didn't particularly like me. And after the interview, I went and talked to him, and he was very upset because I made jokes about being a Mormon. He asked if I'd read the Book of Mormon. That's what he said. Have you read the Book of Mormon? I said, I haven't seen the fucking musical, mate. You know what I mean? So Evan was upset, but I think then Evan was happy with the edit where, what's his fucking name?
Andy Slavik
today. Was on the show, and then afterwards he came and had a beer in my office, and he was just over the moon that he had that opportunity to be funny, which I enjoyed. Now, the fourth act, something dear to my heart. I the only time in my entire life I've actually pound the pavement and actually protested for something. I didn't hold up a sign, but actually the only time I've ever marched in my entire life was when I was living in the UK and they were trying to pass gay marriage. There's something, for whatever reason, I'm very passionate about gay marriage. I just believe that equality for all, I believe that gays should be able to get married. It's such a sexual marriage that I have a real issue with, and that's something that we'll talk about some other time. But I believe gay people should get married, and it's always been a point of contention with me that Australia is the last place in the free world to not have gay marriage, because I always consider, to the Australians listening, that Sydney is maybe the gayest city on earth. Like, you can have your San Franciscos,
really?
Or whatever. No, Sydney, we're gay as fuck. Wow. There's not a person who lives in Sydney. What's Priscilla Queen of the Desert? We have a gay district.
What's that district called? I forgot.
Oxford Street. We call it the Golden Mile, right? Yeah. Right. And so Australia is super gay friendly. We have a gay pride parade, which is watched by 250,000 people. Fucking line the street to watch this thing. We're very gay-friendly society, and I always believe that, and it's always been very upsetting to me that we were the last place to have gay marriage. Now, part of the reason we didn't have gay marriage is because there was a Prime Minister called Tony Abbott, who incidentally, and we didn't mention this in the piece, Tony Abbott's sister is a lesbian who's engaged to be married, but she's not getting married because her fucking cunt of a husband, the ex-prime minister, said that there would her cunt of a brother is trying to block gay marriage. That's going to be awkward for them at Thanksgiving when they're all sitting around going, so I can't get married. You know what's even more awkward? That they're having Thanksgiving in Australia.
I was
Australia.
Just going to say that.
They're going, why are we doing this?
What's going on?
Isn't it enough that I'm gay and I can't get married, but now you're making me celebrate Thanksgiving? Tony, you fucking prick.
What the fuck is
anyway,
the Mayflower?
So, Tony...
Why are you giving me this pilgrim hat, brother?
Well, yeah, we're that, you know, it's from the Mayflower. you got some problems. All you pilgrims get together. Anyway, we don't even enjoy turkey in Australia. So here's the deal. So Tony Abbott, who is the big voice of the no vote for gay marriage in Australia, he was headbutted by a guy called Astrolabe. Now, we had a joke in the thing is, that's like his name, but his DJ name is Funk Knuckle.
Yeah, and he's Funk a Hobart DJ.
Yeah, he's a Hobart DJ in Tasmania. Now, if you don't know what Tasmania is, a little tiny island at the bottom of Australia. It's famous because of the Tasmanian devil. And also, when you live in Australia, if you go up to a girl who's got a bit of bush on her, you go, can I see your map of Tasmania? Because it's the shape of the vaginal hair. But that's not what I would do. I'm just saying that's what others would say. Now, so this guy...
The massacre is what it's
this guy,
for,
right? This guy... Oh, also, there was the massacre that stopped Australians having guns. There was the Hobart massacre where a guy... What's his fucking name called? Anyway, I should know this. Anyway, Martin Bryant shot a whole lot of people, and then the next day we banned guns, and then Australia's been fucking skipping around.
That's all
like,
it takes. Wow. Who knew? That's
yeah,
it's as easy as
that. Yeah, because that's the whole thing about, I'm so tired of talking about gun control in America, because if you didn't do it after Sandy Hook, you will never fucking do it.
Yeah.
So have as many massacres as you fucking want, but if you didn't do it when children were fucking shot, I have no hope for you.
Well, that's because it wasn't real.
Those
are what, actors or something?
Gay frogs.
Child actors.
From Casey Undercover.
Yeah, we got those great fucking 4-year-olds that know how to fucking run it. Yeah, anyway. So this guy, Astrolabe, DJ named Funk Knuckle, he headbutted the ex-prime minister. So to put it in context, this is the same as if someone headbutted Obama. And you know what? It wasn't a big issue. We put this on as a news story in Australia in the same way that if you would have a news story of a surfing dog.
Yeah. Did he even get a fine? Did he get anything?
No, he didn't get anything. He's got a court.
He got a court date.
He got a thing called common assault. Common.
That's the charge.
Not even extreme assault or anything like that. He headbutted the prime minister, and the next day he was interviewed at the front of a pub, and we went, oh yeah, fucking Astrolabe's fucking headbutted fucking some cunt. And the news almost rejoiced about it. The news was like, oh yeah, fucking Tony Abbott's a bit of a cunt, isn't he? Fucking probably deserved a headbutt. And then they were checking Astrolabe, is your head all right, Astro?
Astro.
So anyway, so Astro, even in his interviews in front of a pub, when he was asked if he would do it again, he said, I don't know, depends on my sobriety.
We need to get him on the show.
I feel like we could get Astrolabe on the show, but I feel like he's not allowed to get on planes anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
Like there still is a moment where Astro, you're not allowed to travel. You can't get a visa anyway. And he's like, and Astro's like, why the fuck not? It's because you headbutted the prime minister. Oh, well, that fucking sucked. Dicks. Oh yeah, I thought it did too.
He can DJ the rap party.
Yeah, he's a DJ in Hobart. If you know anything about Tasmania, it's got a population of 1 million people on this little tiny island, and he's Astrolabe might be the most famous person there. Now we're going to wrap up the podcast now. Thank you so much for everyone listening. Now before I go, have you guys got any stand up dates or anything that you want to announce in your personal?
Yeah.
It goes out tomorrow. Oh. Tomorrow.
I'll be at Seattle Saturday at a show called Livewire. So Seattle folks, check that out.
Come and see me, sir.
Nice. I host a show the second Tuesday of the month at Bar Lubitsch called The Reunion here in Los Angeles.
You never invited me on. I would have done that show.
Me either.
And follow me on at Kevin Avery.
Okay.
What's your handle?
At Lucas Kavner.
And I want to remind everybody to follow our show. The Jim Jefferies Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's at Jefferies Show and all those. And subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to our podcast.
These people are already listening. They've already done that.
I know, but, you know, they might not have subscribed. They might just be listening.
Button.
Yeah.
So all
subscribe
right.
is a different thing. And I'll be at Side Splitters in Tampa October 26th.
You'll be in Atlantic City with me.
I'll be there too, yeah.
Okay, thank you for listening. I think we can all do better. Good night. I'm Jim Jefferies. Bye.